The City Council will vote today on one of the final health initiatives of the Bloomberg administration, but it's also a return to one of the first things the mayor took on nearly a dozen years ago, the Smoke-Free Air Act. This time around, the mayor and several city council members want to extend the 2002 smoking ban to e-cigarettes, making it illegal to use the devices in public places, indoors and out. But the case against vaping isn't as clear-cut as the case against smoking. WNYC's Fred Mogul looks at both sides of the debate.
Err on the safe side. That's one of Joseph Califano's main arguments against e-cigarettes.
When in doubt, why put your hand over the fire?
As Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare under President Jimmy Carter, Califano called tobacco public enemy number one, and he's been working to reduce its impact ever since. He thinks we shouldn't wait for all the evidence to come in before severely restricting e-cigarettes.
We don't know the answers to all the questions about e-cigarettes. Whether it's cancer, whether it's emphysema, whether it's chronic bronchitis, whether it's heart disease or heart ailments, why take that chance?
New York City has already banned e-cigarettes for people under age 21, but now the mayor and at least some city council members want to ban e-cigarettes from public parks, restaurants, and other places smoking is restricted. Some public health experts say that goes too far.
If we weren't talking about a current epidemic and this was just a new product on the market, I would say absolutely. Err on the side of precaution. Show us that it's safe before you let it onto the market.
Amy Fairchild from Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health says you have to compare the definite risk of smoking versus the potential risk of vaping.
I don't think anybody would argue it's completely risk-free. Almost everyone would argue that it is far less hazardous than cigarettes.
She compares vaping to giving IV drug users clean needles. It might not break the habit, but it will help them stay healthy. And Fairchild says e-cigarettes do seem to help people quit smoking.
It's reducing tobacco consumption, even amongst smokers who are using them who have no intention of quitting. And so far, the few studies that are out are indicating that it is probably as effective, perhaps more effective, than the nicotine patch and gum.
Talia Eisenberg used to live in Boulder, Colorado, where everyone practically glows with good health. She got into running and rock climbing and yoga, but couldn't quit smoking.
I tried everything, the patch, the gum, nothing worked.
And then she found e-cigarettes.
I took myself from a high level of nicotine down through steps every week to a lower level of nicotine, and that worked for me.
Eisenberg was so impressed that she started her own company. She manufactures disposable e-cigarettes and also makes liquids that go into reusable models. A few months ago, she opened a store and cafe where people can get dozens of different flavors of e-cigs, as well as coffee, tea, and baked goods. She concedes e-cigarettes basically replace one addiction with another, but says until she sees medical evidence to the contrary, she and her customers are much better off puffing steamed nicotine than burning tobacco.
I don't want anybody to come into my shop or buy our products and get addicted to nicotine who's not already addicted to nicotine. I don't think that's wise. But nicotine is similar to caffeine. It is addictive and yet non-harmful.
But the city health department disagrees. They say one of the risks from e-cigarettes is cultural. Smoking was once widespread and respectable, and over the past half century, it's been marginalized. Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Farley recently told the Health Committee that advertising is now glamorizing vaping the way it once did smoking, and that could entice children to try both.
Allowing the use of electronic cigarettes in places where smoking is prohibited could accentuate this problem, making the act of smoking conventional cigarettes socially acceptable again and undermining the enormous progress of tobacco control over the past few decades.
But this, too, is a risk worth taking, says Columbia University's Amy Fairchild. Research someday could back Farley up, but in the meantime,
if the evidence continues to point in the direction that it's pointing now, then I would say then you have a number of years in which you can save lives by allowing people easier access to e-cigarettes.
Banning e-cigarettes from bars, restaurants, and nightclubs won't make them go away. People would still be able to smoke them in non-public places and in places like Talia Eisenberg's Soho Vaporium. She says the ban could even be good for business. Meanwhile, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is expected to release guidelines on e-cigarettes soon, which could also affect how and where they're purchased and used. For WNYC, I'm Fred Mogul.